Greeted. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go forth from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Now, I want you to notice an object lesson that he uses here to teach us a little bit about himself. And that's why we come to church, is to learn a little bit more about God. In verse number 11, he says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." It says, "The Lord God is a sun." Notice the word sun there, S-U-N. And I just want to speak about the sun this morning for a little bit and use that lesson from nature to teach us some things about God. I notice the word sun appears in the Bible over 150 times, and it's almost always talking about the sun, that is the star that our earth revolves around. But there are two times in Scripture where the Lord refers to himself as a sun, or uses the sun as an object lesson for us to look at and to learn from, to learn a little bit more about God. One of them is right here in verse number 11. Another time over in the book of Malachi, I'll read this, chapter 4 and verse 2. It says in the prophecy, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." He says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And so S-U-N, capital S-U-N of Righteousness, the Son of Righteousness. Now, usually when we refer to God or the Lord Jesus, we refer to him as the Son, S-O-N, and we're correct. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. But I'm talking about the sun. I'm talking about the star today and how the Lord wants to use that to teach us some things. It seems like some songwriters have tried to reach out and grab this truth and put them down in some of the hymns that we sing. Sometimes we'll sing songs like Heavenly Sunlight, Flooding My Way with Glory Divine. John Rice wrote a song one time, Let the Sun Shine Again. And he's talking, it's called the Backslider Song, Let the Sun Shine Again in My Life. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is one of the Christmas songs we sing that was written by John Wesley. And he wrote in there a quote from Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, risen with healing in his wings, Son of Righteousness is come. The brass plate earlier beneath the cross of Jesus said, I take thy cross, O shadow, as my abiding place. I need no other sunshine than the sunshine of your face. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. And some of the songwriters of old have tried to depict our Lord in the sense of the sun. Now, we don't worship the sun. All right, we're warned against that in the Bible. We don't worship the moon or the stars or we don't worship anything but God, but we worship the Lord. I couldn't help but think of the sun this week, and I was kind of inspired by the sun. We had this week what we call Indian summer. I love Indian summer, don't you? It's kind of like an unwritten rule of nature in this area. That after the first hard frost, we have a nice warm spell, and they've always called it Indian summer. Maybe some of you know the nature of that history. I'd like to hear it sometime, why it's called that, but I sure enjoyed it. We had almost record highs this week, and just to be out there in the sunshine mowing lawns this past Thursday, that was amazing. Just, you know, bombing around on the lawnmower and doing that in November. And getting that done and then getting the lawnmower put away. Warmth in the middle of November. Well, it's a blessing. I guess half of South Dakota was under snow this week, and I guess ours is coming. But I want to just make a few comments as I thought about how God, I was reading Psalm 84 recently, and it just popped out of the page, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." What a promise here. "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." There's a good reason to walk uprightly, isn't it? No good thing will God withhold from the person who walks uprightly. Let me make a few statements about the sun. They're very simple, but then I want to make a spiritual application in each case. And I hope the Holy Spirit will give you some illumination on this subject. Number one, the sun is very big. The sun is very big. The sun has a diameter of 864,000 miles. That means if you took a straight line and went right through the center of it, where the line came out the other side, you would travel 864,000 miles just to get through the center of the sun. That's not the circumference. That's much bigger, but one straight line to the center of it is 864,000 miles. That means the sun is 330,000 times larger than the Earth in mass. And this is a pretty big planet. I know some of you have done some traveling. Maybe you've flown, some of you recently this year, over the Pacific Ocean to the Philippines, and you got there and said, "Man, that was a long ways." And some of you have flown over the Atlantic Ocean. I've had the opportunity to do both. And boy, you drive around the circumference of the Earth, and that's 25,000 miles. You'd have to drive around the Earth 35 times to cover the distance of the straight line called the diameter of the sun. The sun is very, very big. The sun is very, very big. I think that reminds us of the greatness of God. We serve a very, very big God. He's not a small God. I remember as a little boy, and I'm not suggesting you do this or have to do this, but I remember every time we ate, we had to fold our hands, and I don't know why, but we'd grab our hands real tight and close our eyes real tight, and maybe we thought God would listen better or something if we, you know, really had tight eyes and tight hands. But before we ate, we used to say, "God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for the food we eat. Amen." And I'm just glad that somebody, even though my family wasn't really saved, we were religious, but we weren't saved, and many have gotten saved since, but I'm glad somebody was trying to teach me that God was great early in life. We serve a great God. He is a big God. He is huge. And he is big enough for us. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'd like you to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 3. And I just want you to see a revelation that Moses had. And I think we can agree with his words. And I hope we can. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might. What God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Now notice Moses here confesses that he's beginning to have a revelation. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. You know, I think that ought to be a progressive revelation in every one of our lives, not just to be saved, but then from that point on, for God to begin to show his servant, you, his greatness and his mighty hand. I really believe it's the will of the Lord that he can reveal his greatness in your life personally. In your life personally, not just so that we can stand in awe of what maybe he did for this person or this person or this lady or this man and read autobiographies of maybe great missionaries or great pastors or evangelists and say, wow, look what God did for them. No, no. I believe God is no respecter of persons. And I believe that there are things in your life that are intimate, that are personal to you, that God wants to begin to reveal his greatness to you. He's got you in situations and circumstances where he wants to help you personally and reveal his greatness to you. He's a very big God. He wants to show you that he is a big God in your life so that you can then go to your next trial and say, I think he's big enough for this one. And then you go to your next trial. You ever notice that that's what life is like? It just never ends. It's trial and testing, to trial and testing, to trial and testing, to trial and testing, to trial and testing. And that's really what this life is a proving grounds. And it should be that at the end of our lives, we all prove our God was big enough for us. Our God was big enough for us. And then I want to say, number two, the Son is very powerful. The Son is very powerful. I copied this statement out of an encyclopedia this week. It says this, and I quote, "The Son radiates more energy in 1 second than man has ever used in his history or will in eons to come." The Son radiates more energy in 1 second than man has ever used in his history or will in eons to come. I know there's a lot of talk nowadays that we're running out of energy and we got to use alternate sources of energy and everything, and I hope that goes well. I hope those researchers and so on and so forth do well. I don't know all about that subject. I'm not going to even pretend to comment on it. But just think of that. As I read that in the encyclopedia, I said, whoa, as I applied that to God. As God said, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The encyclopedia says the sun is very powerful. It is a sun that just gives out energy. More energy in 1 second than all of mankind has ever used. In all of man's history or will in eons to come. You know, God describes himself in Revelation 19 and verse 6 with these words made famous by Handel. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We've all heard Handel's Messiah. I'm sure you'll hear it this Christmas season. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It's a Bible word. That word omnipotent means all powerful. All powerful. God is all powerful. Turn to Psalm 62 now. Maybe you're still there in Psalm 84. Turn back to Psalm 62. And again, a revelation I think that we need to have that is written in this verse that I hope you can say this by faith. It says in Psalm 62 in verse 11, God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God is a powerful God. God is a powerful God. I quoted earlier, the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Power belongs to God, just as the sun gives off more power in a second. You know, not a one of us has ever come close to using up the power of God in our lives or in our situations or in our prayers. None of us can say, boy, Lord, I'm going to ask you this in prayer, but I'm not quite sure if you can do this or not. We haven't come close to seeing what God's power can do for us as individuals. Over in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'll look in chapter 4 and read verse 7 for you. It says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. What treasure? The power of God. It's a treasure that we have in earthen vessels. When it talks about earthen vessels, it's talking about you and I. We're made up of dirt. One preacher likes to say we're all animated dirt balls. That's about it. God threw a bunch of dirt together and blew into our nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living creature, and guess what happens when you die? You go back to dirt. You go back to dust. And you take the chemical compounds in dirt and compare it to the chemical compounds in the human body. It's the same thing. Same thing. But we have this treasure in this earthen vessel. The excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Maybe today someone is failing because they're trying in your own power to do something God wants to do through you. It's an old illustration. I use it 10 times a year, but if you don't have a battery in a car, well, your car's junk. I don't care what you paid for it. You pay $50,000 for a Lexus or something. If you don't have a $69 battery in it, the car's junk. I mean, you can stick it on your front lawn or driveway and impress people, drive them down your road maybe. But it's absolutely worthless. It's not going to function the way the designer made it to function. But if you put a battery in it and you hook the cables up correctly to that battery, that car begins to draw power from the battery and begins to function as the designer of the car intended for the car to function, the manufacturer. Now, God has made us. And there are certain ways He wants us to function. Did you ever fail at that? Did you ever wonder why I have? Why, you know, I can remember a lot of times in my life where I say, you know, it just seems by nature I do everything God doesn't want me to do. And it seems impossible for me to do what He wants me to do. Because I'm not functioning the way He designed me. But He can put power in us. And that battery, that power, spiritually speaking, is the person of the Holy Ghost that comes inside of a person when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The moment you accept the Lord as your Savior, God comes and lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. But again, that's like putting a battery inside of a car without connecting the cables. The power's there. Somebody may testify today humbly and say, you know, I've been saved, Pastor, for a long time, but I still can't do what God expects me to do. Maybe it's because you know Jesus Christ, but you don't know the Holy Spirit. And when you get connected to the cables of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to draw power from the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden you find yourself being able to get victory over things you never thought you could get victory over. And resist temptations you could never resist. And overcome faults you thought you'd have to live with the rest of your life. And weaknesses. And God can start to you can start to draw power from God just as a car draws power from a battery. And all kinds of things start functioning correctly. And that's the truth of God. God is powerful, just as the sun is powerful. God is powerful, and God lives inside of you that are saved, and He wants to do things that you and I can't imagine, the way He wants to change us. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men. Sometimes we have problems and whatever it is, you've heard the common problems, marriage problems, family problems, financial problems, and health problems and everything. And the first thing we want to do is run to a doctor or run to a financial counselor or run to a family counselor or run to a marriage counselor. And our faith is in the wisdom of men. Now, a lot of those people can help you. You might even be tempted to run to a pastor. But the Bible says that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God. Somebody asked me just recently, how do you raise teenagers? And I wasn't trying to pass the buck. I really wasn't. But my answer was this: ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit and then let Him answer you through His Word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you to help you and to give you power. Now, I know there's good books, and I suggested a bunch of authors that I think have written some good books on that. I believe Dr. Jack Hiles has a book called How to Rear Teenagers. You ought to get that book. Okay, but don't let your faith stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Listen, you know, you may have had people tell you, and I've seen this before. I've seen good counselors. They mean well, but they'll tell somebody, well, you're going to be an alcoholic all of your life. You're going to be a drug addict all of your life or something like that. That's not true. God can set you free. God can set you free. The Lord has a 2,000-year track record of delivering people from their sins and setting them free and giving them victory over vices and addictions and so on and so forth. By His power. By His power. The Lord is powerful. The Son is powerful. And then number three, the sun is the star that is closest to us. The sun is the star that is closest to us. The next closest star is 300,000 times farther away than the sun. And the Lord says, the Lord is a sun and a shield. God is close to us today. God is close to us today. I'd like you to turn to Acts 17. Acts chapter number 17. In your New Testament, in the New Testament, God is close to us. And I don't want to sound, you know, please don't take this wrong, but if you've ever studied other gods and other religions, the gods of those religions are not personal. They don't make statements like, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, or we love Him because He first loved us, or God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our God is close to us. Our God came to this earth in the form of a little 7, 8, 9 pound baby boy born in Bethlehem and lived and walked among us for over 12,000 days on this earth and helped people and ministered to people and taught us many things and set an example. Our God came and showed Himself to us at Christmas time and died for us on Easter Day and was buried and ascended from rose from the grave and then ascended into heaven. And He assured us, I'm coming back again physically to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. But until then, I'm coming back to be with you every day in the person of the Holy Ghost, so you'll never be alone. Our God is personal. He's the closest star to us. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul here is debating with a bunch of heathen pagans up on Mars Hill. And what a blessing that you all sent my wife and I over to Athens, Greece once, and we were able to stand in this very place of Mars Hill where this story takes place. I can't read it all, but verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription. And here you're going to see some of the saddest words of false religion. to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Wouldn't that be sad to live your whole life and say, well, I got an altar here and I'm serving God. I don't know what his name is. I'm glad our Bible says, but thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. And now underline these words in your Bible, if you've never underlined them before, though he be not far from every one of us. He's the closest star to us. Though he be not far from any one of us. For 12 years I did nursing home ministry. Pastor Seth does it now. I've just had other things come up in my life. He does a good job. But almost every single time I went to the nursing homes, I would remind them before I left, those people in the wheelchairs, I'd remind them, I said, don't forget, God said, the Lord's not far from any one of us. We're going to leave this room, I'd always say, and we won't be back till next week, but God's going to stand right by you, right next to you there. He's going to keep his hand on you. He's not going to leave you alone in the nursing home. Because I used to feel so bad for some of them because they wouldn't have visitors and so on. I'd remind them every time I went in, the Lord's not far from any one of us. Praise the Lord. He's the closest star to us. God is near you and God is near me. And he goes on and he says in verse number 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Someday God's going to judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ, who he raised from the dead. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? When you stand before Jesus, will he be your Savior or will he be your judge? You know, when Paul said here, God is not far from any one of us, he wasn't talking to those that grew up in a Christian-based America. He was talking to heathens and pagans. He says, I want you to know God is not far from you. God is near you today. And the Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let me give you a couple other things quickly here. Number four, the sun gives us warmth. The sun gives us warmth. The sun ministers to each and every one of us. I had a book here. Here it is. It's a little prized possession I have. One of my favorite authors is Herbert Lockyer, and Tracy Barron gave me this book one time. She found it at a garage sale. Now, he's been passed away for a long time. I have a volume of his books about this long. I don't know how he wrote and studied so much about the Bible in his lifetime. I don't know how he did that. But he also wrote a little devotional called Give Us This Day by Herbert Lockyer. And then on the inside, he actually signed this in pencil. Anyways, I don't want to make much of him. I want to make much of the Lord today. But these little devotionals, I came across this one here. And he just wrote this. Now, this was written in 1941. He said, at the moment, I am sitting beneath a blazing sun in Florida. And the thought has just come to me that although the sun is for the world and its beneficial rays are for all mankind, yet here I am allowing it to expend its fullness on me. The Son is for all, and yet it's for each. Thus it is with the love of Christ. Along with the Father, he loves the world. The miracle of grace, however, is the fact that he focuses love on me. In that Bethany home Jesus was fond of visiting, there were three persons who lived there: Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So distinct in personal traits, yet each was loved by Christ. Are you not amazed at Christ's loving you? I like that little thought he said about the Son. He said, you know, the Son is for everybody, but I can avail myself of it personally. And I can receive its warmth for my own self. Same thing with the Lord. The Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. In Matthew 5 and verse 45, Jesus said, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, that sun out there is a blessing to evil people. It's a blessing to heathens and pagans. God doesn't care. God calls it there his sun. He owns it. But it's for the beneficence of all mankind. And yet, even though generally it takes care of everybody on earth, personally it helps you. And it can give you warmth. Sometimes we sing, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Have you grown cold? Have you grown cold-hearted? God can warm you up. If you'll just draw close. Boy, I'll tell you, I just love the sun this week. And I said, well, I better get out and enjoy this because we're not going to see this for a while. But it was just so nice to be out there in the warmth of the sun. Let me say finally, the sun gives us light. The sun gives us light. In closing, turn to 1 John 1 and verse 15. That's way in the back of your Bible before Revelation. I'll read it. If you want to look and find it, you can. 1 John 1, 5, and then this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, try to make a spiritual application here of this, but even on the cloudiest days, there is light. Even when you cannot see the sun, there is light. And we can walk in the light. And maybe you're in a season right now in your life where it just seems like you haven't seen God in a long time. You can still walk in his light. You can still walk in his light. And you know something we always experience is that eventually the clouds separate. We see the sun. But folks, on the cloudiest days, on the rainiest days, on the most depressing days, you all know the saying, the sun still shines above the clouds. And it's the same thing. And even though there's times in our lives and seasons in our lives where we say, God, I just don't see you in this. I just don't see you. What are you doing in my life? You don't even seem to be near, but he'll still give you light. He'll still give you light. Stay in the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist wrote. And God will give you light. You know, it's much easier to negotiate where you're going in the daytime than it is at night. Even on cloudy days. Even on rainy days. So stay in the light. I don't know if I can find this. I thought I have a verse. Jesus said in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. If any man walk in the day, you know, we need to walk in the day. The Bible says walk in the light. Walk in the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. Some things from the sun today. An object lesson. So many object lessons God has used to help our simple minds understand a few things about Him. The sun is very big. The sun is very big. The sun is very powerful. The sun is very close to us compared to other stars. The sun gives us warmth. The sun gives us light. God is the sun and His shield. Hope you know God. I hope you're walking in the light of His countenance. I'd like us to bow our heads, close our eyes for a word of prayer. And we're going to sing a song and have invitation time now. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You in Jesus' name for Your Word. We thank You that as we study Your Word, we can see things about You maybe we've never seen before. And Lord, this week You showed me a couple verses where You compared Yourself to the sun. Lord, so we can think about that, learn some things, and apply some things to our lives. Help us. Lord, maybe there's some here today that don't know You. They don't know You in a personal way through Jesus Christ. We pray they'd come to know You right now. Maybe some are not walking in the light of Your countenance, or maybe they've grown cold. You said You're a consuming fire, and anyone that draws nigh to God is going to warm up. You're going to warm up spiritually. Lord, help us to get closer to You. Maybe there's somebody here who thinks their problems are bigger than You. Or they don't think You're powerful enough to help them with something they're going through in their life. God, help them. Lord, You are big enough. You are powerful enough. And our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So now, Lord, work mightily among us, we pray, and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.